And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces right here on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, and along with me, of course, for this hour, it's Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florists. Doug, welcome back.
Hi, Sean. Thank you. Good to be here.
Of course, this is the Outer Spaces edition of the program, and that means we want you to drive the show today. If you have a question or maybe just a comment about your outer spaces, share it with us. Give us a call, 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Lots of ways folks can get a hold of us today, Doug. And I know that you've been busy at the shop as well. I'm curious, though. You just said you're going to Phoenix, and it's going to be nicer here, I've heard, than it is in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what? Well, my dad lives in Phoenix, so me and my sister are going out just to visit him. He's getting elderly, you know what I mean? And so we're going to go out and visit. And the forecast 2 days ago out there was supposed to be in the 80s and 90s, and now all of a sudden, boom, now they're saying Saturday, 60 degrees with a good chance of rain.
This is out in Phoenix.
In Phoenix. And you guys here in Fort Wayne are supposed to have 68 degrees and sunshine.
I'll take it.
Yeah, so I'm canceling the trip.
Well, right. Well, let me ask you, Doug. I mean, this is one of those scenarios where maybe folks weren't quite able to get, you know, some of their end of year gardening done, you know, some wrap up. What can they do to take advantage of the nice weather this week?
Well, this is a great weather to get out and actually do some of that last minute pruning. Now, I think first I would like to caution people, evergreens should be pruned in June. So this doesn't mean you can go out and do it now because the weather's nice and maybe you didn't get around to it. You should really wait till next year to prune evergreens. Things do have their times. You don't want to prune something like lilacs or you'll be cutting the blooms off for next year because they bloom in the spring. And so there's things like that to think about and to consider. But there's a lot of things that we always tell people, wait till Thanksgiving to prune them. Well, we've had some cold spells. Things are dormant. They're dropping their foliage, and we're going to get another kickstart or another boost to this stuff. Plants are not as smart as you think they are. They think everything is spring. Because in their—
And I only wish everything was spring.
Yeah. Right? In their interior, they just want to grow. That's all they want to do. So anything that resembles spring, which would be like this weekend, they think it's spring and they'll start growing. It's not unusual to see tulip trees and magnolia trees pop into bloom on a warm spell or magnolia bushes. And so, you know, that could happen. But again, don't cut your magnolias because those buds are there for next year. Rhododendrons, they're there for next year. Azaleas, don't touch. But the things that you do want to consider touching is your rose bushes. You know, a lot of the blooms are on there. They've gotten pretty good size. We cut rose bushes back at the greenhouse a couple times a year because usually by mid to late summer, they start looking scraggly and maybe they get black spot, yellow leaves. You know, you can go out and spray and spray and spray until you're crazy and you're not going to fix the problem. And yet you can go out there in late July or early August and you can cut the plants back and you will be amazed at how fast they come back and even bloom for fall. The knockout roses, of course, they're supposed to be pretty carefree, and they pretty much are. But they get so big by this time of the year that you do want to consider cutting them back. Now, the final pruning for roses is in April. So if you do any cutting back now, just make it a partial cut back. I don't care if it's one third, one half, but certainly not the final cut until April.
Looks like we have our first caller on the line, and we do want you to join the conversation today. If you have a question or comment about your outer spaces, just want to share some thoughts with Doug and I, please do give us a call, 260-452-1185, or call toll-free, 1-800-471-9264. Let's get to the phones. We've got, looks like Sonia has left us. Sonia, if you'd like to rejoin the conversation, do give us a call, 260-452-1185. 1-1-8-5 will get you right on. Otherwise, the phone bank is empty right now, Doug. We did have one question. Somebody left us a message. One listener has asked, is it too late to put weed killer on my lawn?
Well, you know, that must be my mother-in-law calling in. I don't think it is really, but her and I have had that very same conversation. And I don't think it is too late to put weed and feed. Weed and feed is the one that will actually fertilize. Because you can fertilize your lawn late in the season, and weed killer will kill, that's mixed with it, will kill the broadleafed weeds, which is what you want to do in the fall to prevent all those dandelions and other terrible weeds that pop up in the springtime. And most people, you know, they have a tendency to wait until the dandelions are there and then they want to go fight them. Well, that's fine. You're not going to take care of the ones that are there at that moment, but you will prevent new ones from growing. The problem is when those dandelion blossoms drop their seeds, the weed and feed that you applied is not going to stop those seeds from growing. You'd have to use something more like a weed preventer, like a crabgrass preventer, or a preventer like Preen to keep them from growing. And of course, generally Preen isn't used in a large way around the yard like lawn fertilizer is. So, but still, in answer to their question, I don't think it's too late, and especially since we're having some warm weather, which is going to activate the lawn, I don't think we're expecting rain. You want to put that stuff down, and you hope that it don't rain for 24 hours. After that, go for it. And it's best to put it down in the morning when there's lots of dew on the ground. It sticks to the foliage of the leaves, and that's what really does it.
We appreciate that question. It looks like we have a few more callers on the line, and we do invite you to join us, 260-452-1185. Let's go to the phones. We've got Steve on the line. Steve, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Well, good afternoon.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I've got a butterfly bush. It was planted in front of a picture window, and it was really nice for a few years, but now it's just gargantuan, and I'm thinking I need to move it to a different part of the yard.
Yeah,
but what the best way to do that with so I can not damage the plant.
Okay, that's a great question. You can cut that thing back a whole lot, but if it's in front of your picture window, as you've experienced, it gets large by midsummer and blocks your view, no doubt. So there's no reason not to move it. This is a great time to move it, and if you're gonna move it, it's a great time to cut it back. Because these things are monstrous. Butterfly bushes generally bloom in mid to late midsummer and on. And I have found that this is one of those plants, see, like lilacs, once it blooms, you cut it back, you don't cut it again, or because it's developing blooms for the next year. Butterfly bushes, you can cut them back, and it's like instantly they pop back up and start blooming. There's just like no stopping them. So I break all the rules when it comes to butterfly bushes. But in this case, you're going to want to cut it way back. I mean, way back. I can't say how high because I don't know what yours exactly looks like. But cut it really far back and move it. Get it in the ground. Give it a good drink of water. And it will take off. It will survive winter. It's very hardy. And you should have good luck with it next year. So just put it someplace and make sure you remember it needs a lot of area around it because it will get pretty good sized.
Okay. And as far as the bulb, what's the minimum size that you'd want to keep on that?
Oh, you know, it can just be as little as 6 inches, 6 to 8 inches. But now when you say a ball, is this one that's growing up on a stem and then it bushes out at the top?
No, I meant how much of the root system.
Okay, so it's more of a bush, a shrubbery type thing. Okay, good. Yeah, I would say, you know, probably a couple feet from the ground. Feet from the ground. You can go 3 feet from the ground, but I wouldn't leave it much higher than that because you know it's going to grow. So 2 to 3 feet from the ground.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Have a great day, Steve. Thank you very much for your call. The number 260-452-1185. If you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth, we'll try to get you on the air here. We have another number of people on the phone bank, so let's keep on moving here,
let's
Doug.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Margaret on line two. Margaret, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a question about on the front of my house faces north, so it gets very, very little sunshine.
Sure.
Just a tiny little bit in the morning. And my gas meter is out front. And I would like a suggestion of something I could plant, say, in front of the gas meter to kind of disguise it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would like something with some color,
mm-hmm.
but I have no idea what.
Well, you know, there are shrubbery that have red leaves, plums, flowering plums and that type of thing, which are red most of the time. They could be planted. You do have to trim them to keep them under control or they'll get big. We've talked about the burning bush on previous programs could be planted there, and it will put out a beautiful display of red in the fall. In fact, across the street from our place, Comcast Cable has their big green ugly-looking box sitting there right by the road. And many, many years ago, someone planted a bunch of burning bushes
mm-hmm.
around it. And, man, it puts out the greatest display. But since no one actually lives in that area anymore, they hardly ever get trimmed back. So they are just getting gigantic. But you don't see the Comcast cable box back there. You wouldn't know it was there. At all. But there's a lot of other things you can plant and keep under control, such as any of the evergreens. You can do the pyramid type junipers, euonymus, arborvitaes, that type of thing.
Yeah, I have some of those, and I wanted something a little, you know, this is like on the other side, and I just wanted something with a little bit of color.
Yeah. And then when you mix with those greenery type evergreens, if you mix something like barberry bushes, they don't generally get too large, so it makes a great accent piece. You have the green background with the barberries in front, so there's that. And then I was thinking of one other thing. What was that?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know either. Well, you could probably plant coniasters there, which have the yellow blossoms.
What was that?
Coniasters. C-O-N-O, and then aster, A-S-T-E-R, coniasters, and that might work out for you.
Okay.
Sometimes they recommend sunshine, but they seem to perform okay without it. I find those tend to dry out a lot in the heat. By the way, you can plant hydrangeas there, too, because a lot of the hydrangeas do not like full sun. There's a few varieties that take the full sun. Notice the word, they take it. Doesn't mean they have to have it. And then most of the varieties really don't much care for full sun in a really hot climate. So
okay,
that would be another one. But again, a lot of those types of things you would have to keep pruned.
Yeah. That wouldn't be a problem. It's just, it's something that will do well with very little sun.
Yes, and you might be able to work in a Japanese maple there as an accent piece and then surround it with some other shrubbery. They stay fairly short. They're usually red all the time.
Uh-huh.
There's other varieties of Japanese maples. There's one that turns yellow, and what's beautiful about that one is in the wintertime when all the leaves fall off, the bark turns bright red. It looks artificial because the bark is so bright red.
Mm-hmm.
With some decorative lights on it. But you might want something there that's evergreen so that it hides that thing all year long.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Right. Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Margaret, we appreciate your call. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment about your outer spaces today. Or you can always call us toll-free, of course, 1-800-471-9264. Three more callers on the line. So, Doug, we'll put off our break for a few minutes here. I know you're waiting for coffee, but we've got...
Okay. I've had it all day long.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Eric on line 3. Eric, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, fellas. I enjoy the program.
Thank you.
Quick question. Has to do with mulching. My thought process on mulching is every spring I put a light top coat on the beds, and
mm-hmm.
I take my little small tongy rake that's about as big as a large fist, and I'll blend it in and turn it and fluff it up, and when I get weeds, they're easy to pull right out, and that's my belief about about mulch. I'll also do some turning and kind of fluff it up in the late summer as well to facilitate pulling those little pesky little weeds.
Sure, and it looks good too.
Yes, sir. Now that's my thought process. Let's fast forward. I'm preparing Mom's yard here in Fort Wayne so that we can sell the house, and she's been ill and just recently passed away. She hasn't been taking care of her garden because of her health, and her mulch consists of the large pieces of bark that are probably about the size of a half of a dollar bill.
Sure.
Those types of things. Now, for the past 2 years, they've been just kind of sitting there. Naturally, they're all dried out and rather exposed. And my thought process was, is there any downside to cosmetically doing a hardwoods fine dark brown just to top it off this time of the year so that it looks more attractive?
No, that's
curb appeal.
That's what you should do, but I think if it were me, I'd probably go in there and not rake hard, but at least rake a lot of the loose stuff off the top and get it out of there.
Got you covered.
Yeah, I would do that and then top dress it with any color that you like. I don't know, the old bark type mulches were popular for a long time, and then everyone switched to the more shredded stuff, which I believe does look a lot better.
Yeah, Mom's kind of old school, so I think that's where that came from.
Yep.
Thanks, fellas.
Have a great day,
and enjoy your coffee.
You bet. Thanks.
Eric, thank you very much for the call.
And Shauna is going to tell you another thing that used to happen back in the old days, and I've been around in the business for over 50 years, but everybody used to buy this product called Georgia Marble, white Georgia Marble. Man, there wasn't a landscaping job that didn't have white Georgia Marble in it. We used to buy it by the semi-load and sell it as fast as it would come in. And now, I don't think you can give a bag of that away. Not to mention it's really expensive, too, now. That's just another one of those things that you hardly ever see anymore.
I was going to say, I remember the larger mulch growing up. That's what I had to sweat every spring and summer working on that stuff.
And but it doesn't help hold the weeds down either. It's better to use the shredded for that.
It looks like we have a few more callers on the line. Art, we're going to get to you in just a moment. First, though, we have Sheila on the line. Looks like she's left us. Sheila,
Art's coming back.
Like to give us a call back. The number is 260-452-1185. And it looks like Art has left us as well. If you'd like to give us a call back, our phone banks are wide open at this point. The number, once again, 260-452-1185. Or it's toll free, 1-800-471-9264. I do think we're going to take a quick break here so Doug can get some caffeine. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
Hi, I'm Julia Meek, and this Thursday it's Meet the Music Live and Lively. We're broadcasting live from C2G Music Hall, so come on down to hear and see great performances by Megan King, Electro 35, and Velvet Soul. That's C2G Music Hall, 323 West Baker Street, just south of Parkview Field. Doors open at 6:30, show starts at 7. It's fun, it's free, and you're invited. We'll meet the music live, and we hope to see you there.
Northeast Indiana Public Radio invites you to join us for a special afternoon of great classical music Saturday, November 10th. Pianist Wayne McEvely will perform the music of Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, and Chopin in the Sweetwater Performance Theater. Admission is free, but donations are welcome, so join us for a delightful afternoon of wonderful piano performance Saturday, November 10th at 4 p.m. More information is available at nipr.fm.
On the next Fresh Air, how the Soviets transformed Eastern Europe into totalitarian states after World War II. We talk with Anne Applebaum about her new book, Iron Curtain, The Crushing of Eastern Europe, which is nominated for a National Book Award. Her book, Gulag, won a Pulitzer Prize. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Even with the Cold War decades behind us, we can't ignore the ever-changing threat of nuclear war. That's according to Paul Bracken in his new book, The Second Nuclear Age. I'm Neil Conan, the new rules and politics of nuclear weapons in the 21st century and how the U.S. should respond. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
It's 12:27. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter. Very happy to be with you and with Doug Hackbarth this afternoon. Of course, we're waiting for you to give us a call with your questions or comments about your garden or perhaps your backyard. So do it, 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. If you can't get to the phones right now, but you'd still like to get your question or comment on the air, you can always email us. It's middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall as well, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. It looks like we have another caller on the line. Let's go to Stephen. Stephen, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Stephen.
I have a burning bush out in the front of my house, and it's about 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And good-sized bush. Beautiful leaves in the fall.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Yep. But how far can I cut that back without damaging
You could cut that back... Really, you could cut it back as far as 2 feet from the ground, but maybe 3 foot or 4 foot would be more reasonable. 4 feet's almost not enough, though.
But it's gorgeous when it's turned red,
yeah.
But it needs to be trimmed back some, and yeah. I've been afraid to do it, but I didn't know what would happen to it.
And this is one of those plants that you could do it. The next time it gets cold, you could run out and do it, or you could wait till next spring, but... it will grow after you cut it back. Not in the wintertime, but if you wait until April and cut it back, it will grow and relatively fast, and you should still have a beautiful plant by the end of summer.
Okay. We also have some spirea that my wife wants mm-hmm. to trim back.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be trimmed back now without too much problem?
Well, I think you could. They generally bloom in, you could definitely. They bloom in midsummer. And on, and so you could cut those back again also as late March, early April. So anytime between now and then. See, this is the thing about winter weather in Fort Wayne. Once it gets cold, let's just say in December, well, then December, January, February, and March are pretty much all the same. It's like 1 month.
Okay.
It's 1 month of cold weather, and then when we start to break out of it in generally late March, but not this year. It was about March 2nd.
Yeah.
When you start to break out of it, that's a good time to do the pruning on a lot of things because it's just the best time, late March or sometime in April. A lot of the rose grower people will tell you to wait until mid-April to cut roses back, but nobody wants to wait that long.
Yeah, so... Okay, I will take your advice, and I will trim that burning bush and that back.
I would.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Stephen. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth this hour. Or you can always call us toll-free, 1-800-471-9264. It looks like we have Sonia on the line from earlier. Sonia, are you there?
Yes, I am. I apologize. My cell phone dropped the call earlier. I have a question. I have some about 50-year-old euonymus
mm-hmm.
that was once a truly beautiful natural green screen for hundreds of running feet of chain link fence.
Yep.
As you probably suspect, the euonymus has now gotten irreparably damaged by scale.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have hundreds of running feet of really intertwined branches and woody bits that basically, I am wondering if there is a native plant that could possibly overtake and replace the structure that still is existing there, because otherwise I have to take the fence completely down.
Yeah, that's not good. And there's no.
And
there,
you know what? I'll take my answer off the air and let.
Oh, well, I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
All right. There's no way you can trim those branches right along the facing of the fence, and then like trim them on the other side right along the.
Well, I attempted something of the sort, which was a good full day's work, and the vines are as thick as my thigh. I mean,
sure.
This thing is. And it's so completely mixed into the fence itself.
Yeah, and is this a wooden fence or a chain link?
Chain link.
Chain link, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, and the quickest advice, the best advice I can give you is hire someone to do it because you shouldn't be doing it. That's a lot of work. And you said it took you hours. I can't imagine it wouldn't take you days for hundreds of feet of this.
Right.
It's unfortunate. But there's really no way to make that look good.
And is there another plant that is native that is not that could resist the scale that could just sort of grow over it? The only thing that springs to my mind is English ivy, but I'm terrified of this stuff because I come from the Northwest where it's an absolute nuisance.
Yeah, I think you'd be causing huge problems. Well, if you planted, you mean plant the English ivy and not remove the shrubs?
The
English ivy would grow up and go around those shrubs, grow around that chain link fence, and then you really have a problem getting it out of there if you ever want to. You're going to have somebody come out there with a machine that lifts the fence and all the plant growth all out at one time and puts it right into a dump truck because there would be no separator.
Yeah, I think that's what they're saying. It's just all got to go and it's just got to be a new fence.
Yeah, well, and then that's possible. You've talked with professionals that say they can't just cut it away from the fence?
Yeah, they say that there's no way to get it out, that it's got it's to get it out, we'd have to take out the fence.
Too thick, too close.
Mm-hmm.
It could be dangerous. You stick a chainsaw in there and you accidentally bump that chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
I could see their point because you could ruin a lot of chainsaws trying to do that.
Yeah.
It sounds like a bad problem. There's no chemicals you can hit it with to make them deteriorate and disappear. If there was, it wouldn't be good for the earth anyway.
Right. And they're just so old, and they were so big. And it appears as if this has been a problem that's been – we recently moved to the region.
Mm-hmm.
It appears as if this is a problem that the previous homeowners had slowly been managing, but our very unusual weather just sort of kicked it into high gear.
Yeah.
And we've just gotten a posting on our Facebook page here from, I believe it's Laura Stein, saying a Dutchman's pipe vine can cover the branches and it's native.
Dutchman's pipe vine. I will research that. Thank
and you don't
so
have you don't have anything to lose because eventually, if you have to tear it all out, it's all got to go anyway. So if you put
and
that
I have
on,
plenty,
and,
yeah, you know. I have plenty of space. I don't need the space. I just need something native, And if it was something that was helpful to the critters, that'd be even better. So I will look into that, and I appreciate that.
You bet.
All right.
Thank you.
Sonia, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Laura, for that tip.
Have a very good day. And yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Laura, an unexpected guest on our page today. We've got a few more calls on the line. Freddie, stay with us. We'll be with you in just a moment here. First, though, we've got Steve. Steve, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. My question is in regards to in the summer hydrangea plant that I have two of them. And when I first planted them 5 years ago, of course, from the nursery, they looked beautiful and they were blue and healthy. And they were in mostly shade. I probably had 2 hours of sun right in the afternoon.
Sure.
And they've kind of died back and they were really hit hard last summer with the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is now, I have trimmed back this tree that was close to it that was shading it. It's going to have more sun, and I'm trying to nurse it back to health. I mean, and I was half going to just even plant two new ones, but do you think if I have just a couple of shoots out of it this summer, they stayed green, but it didn't really come back real well from last year. Is this the type of plant that I can continually try to bring it back, or should I replace it?
I think you can bring it back. Don't baby those shoots. Cut them. cut them back like you would cut any branch because they need to branch out. If you baby them, they're going to want to just grow straight, and you'll never have any fullness out of this plant. And when the tree was doing the shading, did the hydrangea tend to grow sort of sideways in one direction looking for the sun? Or
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Not too much.
Yeah. Definitely you want to cut this back. Now, the best time for cutting hydrangeas is in the spring. However, I've talked with my friends and told them you could cut them back maybe two-thirds of the way now and then get in there and make sure you cut them back again in late March, early April, because what happens is if you have stems that are too long, growth will pop out on the stems all over the place, and you don't want a lot of growth. A lot of growth you already have. Everybody already has a ton of growth, so don't promote extra growth. You want to cut these things back so that you just have a few green starts on each branch and not 10 or 20 starts on each branch, because it's too much. The plant can't support that. Not only support it physically, but it can't support the greenery and the growth and the chlorophyll and the whole shebang. So I would make sure that to cut that back at least halfway now, and next spring cut it back some more, and then force that growth to come out. Now, you could add some bone meal around the soil right now if you like, but definitely in the spring you're going to want to put down some slow-release granulated fertilizer, something that's made for hydrangeas. Have you lost the blue color, or has it just not bloomed?
I've lost the blue color, and it has bloomed less. And this year, I almost, out of, like I say, a five-year period, it's down to, like you said, shoots. I have a couple shoots and not much flowering at all. And then when it does flower, it's back to the pink.
Yeah. I think it's aluminum sulfate that you use to turn them blue. It's basically, let's just look at aluminum sulfate this way. It's basically a natural fertilizer. So if it doesn't turn them blue, it's still going to fertilize your plant, but it's going to fertilize it in the right direction, in the direction for eventually getting them back to blue. If you're like me, I don't care what color hydrangeas are. I think the blue ones are nice. I think the pink ones are nice, and anything in between works for me. I just like them no matter what color they are.
I agree with that. Yeah. My next question would be, with it was so hot last summer, I probably overwatered my plants. I have primarily perennials, and these specifically, how much should you water?
Yeah, hydrangeas do take a lot of water, especially if they're in the sun. That's one good reason to not have them in the sun, so they don't dry out daily. I know that my mother-in-law waters hers pretty much daily. She lays a hose down there, turns it on, eventually shuts it back off, and that's a lot of watering for a perennial plant that's been in a spot for years. You would like to hope that you wouldn't have to do that. So it is a plant that takes a lot of water during a drought season. Now, the rest of this year, you shouldn't have to really mess with it that much other than cutting it back, and then you're finished. The foliage is basically gone, so you're finished for this year. Get the bone meal down so that when it rains the next time, it will slowly go to work, and the granulated fertilizer next year that's made, you'll be able to read the bag. It'll say for evergreens, azaleas, and rhododendrons, that type of thing. That would be good for the hydrangea too.
All right. Well, thank you very much for answering my question.
You bet.
Steve, thanks for the call, and have a very good day. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a plant or garden question. We're going to break for the news in just a moment, but first we have hopefully a very patient caller on the line here. Freddie, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, Freddie.
Thanks for sticking around with us. What's your question?
I have what we call cannon plants.
Yes, cannons, yeah.
And they tell me that I should take up the bulbs, cut them down, take the bulbs, and put them away for the winter.
That is correct.
How do I preserve those?
Well, they like to be stored in a dark, let's say, well-ventilated area. Now, to me, well-ventilated simply means don't put them in a plastic bag. Put them in a cardboard box or a paper sack, and then store them someplace that's cooler than your house, which means anywhere from 42 to 52 degrees, and just store them there. So you're going to want to dig these up out of the ground, cut the stems off, and then let the soil sort of just lay around, you know, and dry before you put them away. You can kind of shake the soil off before you put them in the bags or the boxes. And then just store them. And then next year, like in April, you can get those flats that bedding plants come in, those plastic flats that are shallow. And you can put a little soil in the bottom. Actually, peat moss is even better in the bottom. And then take these things and lay them all around in that peat and then almost cover them. Almost cover them. And they will start to grow. And then they grow at different rates. So when we do it, that way we can get the large ones and put them together and the small ones and put them together. In your case, eventually you could put the large ones in the center and the small ones around the outside. Hmm. And it would look balanced when you plant them.
Okay. Well, when I took them up, it was like in a cluster. When I put them in, they were separate. Do I separate those?
Yeah. Actually, we take a knife in the springtime and we slice them into pieces. It depends on each clump as to how many. Usually you can get two or three out of each one. And so it is advisable to do that. I hated to bring it up if you're not really sure what you're doing, but maybe someone in the neighborhood knows how to divide bulk. I'm assuming you don't. You haven't done it before.
I've done it once before in Ohio, but it's been so long.
It's one of those things you have to have it in your hand.
Yes.
And then you say, okay, what if I cut here and then cut it? And what if I cut over here and then cut it? And then you might have a clump that you're just going to throw away. And so you might get two to three, possibly even four pieces out of each one if it's a big clump. But they should be cut.
Okay.
And then when you plant them in those flats, plant all of them.
All right.
And
well,
just
thank
barely,
you very much.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Freddie, we appreciate your call. Have a very good day. We need to go to a break in just a moment here. Doug, last words until we go.
And that's one of those plants, tuberous begonias, cannas. These are one of those plants that you want the frost to hit them before you dig them up, which, of course, it's happened now several times. It sounds like he's already dug his up, and that's fine. But the frost hits them. It kills the foliage or damages the foliage. That's perfectly fine. That's what you want to do. It sends a message to the corm to stop growing.
Hmm.
Okay, go.
we do need to take a quick break here. We will finish up the program, and we want you to be on the program today. If you have a question or comment, 260-452-1185 or toll-free 1-800-471-9264. Of course, you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Do stay with us. Coming up after the break, Holly Joe has a question about a little Japanese maple. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, how the Soviets transformed Eastern Europe into totalitarian states after World War II. We talk with Anne Applebaum about her new book, Iron Curtain, The Crushing of Eastern Europe, which is nominated for a National Book Award. Her book, Gulag, won a Pulitzer Prize. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOI News. Apart from those who retired prior to this election cycle, Indiana House Republican leadership will remain mostly the same after the new 69-member caucus voted Wednesday. And as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, Speaker Brian Bosma says his caucus's style of governing won't change either.
Neither party has enjoyed a majority this large since the early 70s, and more than half of the caucus has fewer than 4 years' experience. But House Speaker Brian Bosma says keeping him in his post, Macy Representative Bill Friend as floor leader, and Noblesville Representative Kathy Richardson as caucus chair will help ensure the caucus functions effectively.
Nothing's going to change. I've had this conversation with several people. My conduct will be the same as it was when I was a leader of a caucus of 47 and as the leader of a caucus of 60.
Anderson Democratic Senator Tim Lannon, who Wednesday was voted leader of the Senate's minority caucus, has experience dealing with a quorum-proof majority in his chamber and says supermajorities can be dangerous.
The responsibility on the minorities under those circumstances, it really arises. to make sure that the public hears all sides of a debate.
House Democrats are expected to vote on their new leader Thursday. Fort Wayne Republican David Long will remain Senate President pro tem. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
In a rare morning game yesterday, the Fort Wayne Comets traveled to Toledo to face the Walleye. WBOY's Doug Gruber has the results.
In front of 6,800 fans, mostly screaming school-age youngsters yesterday morning, the K's were down 2-1 in the third period. The Comets offense then took charge with goals from Josh Britton, Stefan Thorne, and an empty netter by Brett Smith. The Walleye couldn't answer as Comets goalie Charlie Effinger stopped 8 Toledo third period shots. Fort Wayne down the Walleye 4-2. The K's skated shorthanded with Lincoln Cayley Schrock out of the lineup. He had major dental surgery earlier this week. Goalie Mark Cousineau is out with a pulled groin, and Kenny Reiter has been returned to the Comets from Bridgeport of the AHL to fill that slot. The Comets face two division opponents this weekend. Evansville visits the Coliseum Friday night, and the team travels to Kalamazoo Saturday night. For WBOY News, I'm Doug Gruber.
A legislative committee that's reviewing how the Department of Child Services responds to the needs of at-risk children scheduled a meeting Thursday morning in downtown Indianapolis. The agency has drawn attention from legislators following a series of child deaths and complaints about its statewide child abuse hotline. State House Democrats have been highly critical of the agency, citing media investigations into child deaths across Indiana that might have been prevented. Former juvenile court judge James Payne resigned as the agency's chief in September amid questions of whether he violated his agency's code of conduct through his involvement in a child neglect case involving his grandchildren. Tippecanoe County Superior Court Judge Loretta Rush will officially be sworn in as the 108th Supreme Court Justice in Indiana history Wednesday. Rush becomes only the second woman ever to sit on the state's highest court. She is Governor Mitch Daniels' third appointment to the bench. Daniels previously appointed Stephen David and Mark Massa. Rush begins her work on the court immediately, and her first oral arguments are scheduled for November 21st. Rush's oath was administered by Chief Justice Brent Dixon in a private ceremony Tuesday. Her public swearing-in is set for late December. And now back to your host for Midday Matters on WBOY, Sean Beter.
Ten minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, this is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on 89.1 FM WBOY. We have a few callers on the line here, as well as a few questions sent to us digitally. I did, before the break, tease this question from Holly Joe. I want to get to it right now. Holly Joe says, we have a little Japanese maple in our front yard. Doug, any recommendations on how and when to trim it?
Well, with Japanese maples, they tend to stay small anyway, so there's very little pruning involved. But when the leaves fall off, which they probably have, you can just sort of, I like to just stand back and stare at it and think, what branches are crisscrossing each other? You don't want crisscrossing branches, because on windy days, they rub each other and it rubs the bark off, opens up pores for diseases and things like that. So any branches that crisscross, you want to trim at least one of them so they don't crisscross. And then otherwise, it's just a matter of size, and you're going to stand back and look, and you're going to say, look, that one branch goes off to the left a little further than I think it should. Then cut it off. And that's basically it with those and a lot of other plants. I just find the standing back method and staring at it and trying to picture, well, what would it look like if I removed like a tree that hasn't been pruned for years? You might want to actually visualize coming down a foot. Now, what if I cut this thing off that way? How would it look?
And, you sound very zen in the way you're approaching this.
I usually drink tea while I'm doing it. Good. Yeah.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth. We'll get to a few messages that were left with us in just a few moments. I do want to get back to the phones. We've got Heather on line one. Heather, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi.
We actually moved into a rental in late October, early November last year with a huge garden. And so we didn't know what was in the garden until this spring when everything started coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a huge patch of gladiolas. I thought they needed to be dug up and brought inside over the winter, but apparently they had been left out all winter when we were here.
Yes, and you're right. They should be, but there's a lot of times that they will survive, the same as the canna bulbs. I've
okay.
seen people that have had those survive. It's not normal for them to, but you'd have a better chance with the gladiolas than you would with the cannas, because they would just...
So should I dig them up this year?
You should.
And bring them in? Okay.
Yeah, you
and
should.
Same and, way you said to store the other bulbs?
And you may want to divide those after you dig them up.
Okay. Divide them now or in the spring?
You can divide them now or in the spring, either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
Well, you're sure welcome.
Heather, have a very good day. Thank you so much.
You too.
We do have more callers on the line here. We'll get to in just a moment. I do want to get to one of these messages that was left with us earlier in the program. Doug, is now a good time to prune an underachieving wisteria vine? And if so, how far can folks prune it?
Well, certainly. And generally, when people buy wisteria, they want a vine that's going to grow up tall, maybe go over a trellis or a walkway or something like that. So the object is that you do want it to be big. So really, the only reason to cut those would be anything that's growing where you don't want it. And then also to thin it out, because it can get extremely thick. And it's pretty hard to thin it out after the leaves and the blooms and everything are there. Then you don't want to mess with it. But when it's dormant, you know, this is a time to look at it and say, look at that thick cluster over there. Let me go in there and thin that out a little bit. So you can do some thinning. And of course, any branches that are out of the way, or if you have an area that you wanted it to grow in and it's beyond that, then by all means, cut that off.
All right.
And you can do it now. You can do it. Probably now would be a good time.
Sounds yeah. good. Let's go back to the phones here. Maureen, we'll get to you in just a moment. First, though, we have Marie on line two. Marie, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello.
Hi.
I have two groups of plants that I'm wondering whether I should trim them back. One is a very nice stand of Phlox David, and the other one is a nice big bunch of Agasticae. And they're still green, so I guess they're still growing, but they look scraggly and not pretty.
Yes.
So would I harm them if I cut them back?
No, I think you should cut them back. I think part of the reason they started growing is, you know, things sort of died out, and then the weather tends to get back. It's what I had said at the beginning of the show. Plants think it's spring, so they start growing again. So there's no hurry to cut them back, but you could do it yet this year.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
You bet.
Marie, thanks very much for your call. Have a good day.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. 260-452-1185. If you'd like to get your voice in just the last few moments of the program here, we'd love to have you. In the meantime, let's go to the phones here. We've got Maureen on line three. Maureen, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, I have two questions.
Yeah.
Can I prune my red twig dogwood now?
Your dogwood?
Well, yeah,
your dogwood tends to bloom in the spring. So, yeah, you can prune it. However, you want to do what we call selective pruning. Just take off what you need to take off and leave the rest on there so that you don't cut off a lot of the blooming for next spring. And then after it blooms in the spring, that's a good time. Because usually those things pop into bloom before they even produce leaves. And then right after it's through blooming, you can prune more. So you could do some now and then some in the spring after it blooms.
Okay, and then can I prune a curly willow now?
Curly willow?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Do I need to let the branches dry before I spray paint them?
Well, you know, we grew I could almost say a crop of curly willows that unfortunately got so large that I can't even get to the top of them with the forklift. And the poison ivy has grown all around them to the point where I don't even want to drive the forklift close.
Mm.
It'll get on the wheels, and then it'll eventually get on me. It's just terrible. But okay. Curly willow, we trim it any time of the year for use in the floral shop. The problem with trimming it in the summer and spring is it has all those leaves on it, and they got to pick them off. But they'll use them while they're green, and you can use them while they're green. I suppose to spray paint them, though, you might have to wait till they dry in order to get rid of the moisture that would be involved there in, you know, in the bark.
Okay, thank you very much.
But you could always spray paint, and if it goes away, you can spray paint again.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
Uh-huh. Maureen, have a very good day. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Doug, we did have one more question. It looks like a message that was left with us earlier. And it's a question from John, if I can find it. There it is. John asks, evergreen yew bushes, mm-hmm. that's Y-E-W, is it too late to trim them in this season?
Well, it really is. This is one of those plants, the junipers, arborvitaes, and the yews. Generally, the best time for pruning those, the recommended time is in June. And part of the reason why they want you to wait until June instead of pruning them early, like in April and May, is to give them a chance to leaf or to green up really well. They don't leaf out, but give them a chance to green up really well, and actually so that you can see what damage occurred during the winter season. And you can go through and you can prune the dead stuff off first and then prune the size after that so that you get them down to where you want them. So, however, if it's growing in his way, you know, if it's close to the door or it's close to the sidewalk or the car drags by it each time you pull in and out, by all means, gut it. You're the boss. So,
it looks like we've only got about 90 seconds left here, Doug. I know you're not going to be in town, but if you were, I mean, what would you be looking to do this weekend to prepare for the colder weather that we know is eventually coming here?
Well, you know, one thing that's going to happen is wreaths and grape blankets, the live ones are coming in, and I'm thinking about the fact that the weather's going to be so warm. See, I'm concerned about the warmth as opposed to the cold, that I think I'll have a cloth or some type of covering ready that when we unload those, we can just cover them up and keep the sun off them so they don't get hot and dry.
We really do just have about 60 seconds or so here. We had a last-minute question come in from April. April says, do you have any recommendations on how to prune a hydrangea tree? Is it okay to cut off the old blooms? Can you prune throughout the year?
Yes, and you know, we talked about that, Sean, you and I. The old blooms can be cut off and actually tucked into wreaths, whether they be live wreaths or artificial wreaths for decoration, into roping. I've seen them tucked into Christmas trees if the stems are long, but they won't be long in a hydrangea tree. But yeah, you could cut those off, cut the blooms off, and again, the prune them. They don't generally get real big like the bushy type, but prune them back, make them look nice. Spring's really the best time to do the final cutting, though, so you could do a little pruning now, especially the flowers, and then later, like in April, trim them back a little bit more so that you don't have too many starts on those branches.
April, we appreciate your question, and we appreciate the many folks who got in touch with us today.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening and being in touch with us. Doug, thank you very much for another great show.
Thank you.
And I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1 and streaming online at NIPR.FM. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock. Fresh Air is next. Have a very good day.